Craig Hoffman.
By the way, Haney's back. Say hi to the afternoons, Anthony.
I am indeed, Craig.
The Hoffman Show.
Last time I saw you, you were on a boat from your vacation. So, you know, if the stories are supposed to stay on the boat, they can stay on the boat.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
All right, our fantasy draft that we came up with for the league that we started in the 3 o'clock hour is off and running. It's Hoffman Show on the Team 980. We're always live on the free Odyssey app. I'm Craig Hoffman. Anthony Haney behind the board. He's got the 10th pick coming up in a little bit. I had the 5th pick. I went with Ja'Marr Chase. Jonathan Taylor went first overall. McCaffrey, Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, which is who I wanted. Dalvin Cook just went.
Y'all are doing this all wrong, man.
All right, we'll see who you take at 10.
Hopefully he's available, but if I'm one of those people going 7, 8, or 9, I'm not even going to say what they
You probably shouldn't because there's probably people listening being like, who's Andy going to take? All right, Take Command this week was fantastic, getting in our in-season groove. Logan told one of the best stories that I've ever heard on the podcast, slash I've ever heard from him, period. So that's in our prime cut this week. But we started off talking about where he started his study with Jacksonville, specifically on the defensive side of the ball.
I started my study with the third preseason game because they played in the Hall of Fame game. So it was Pittsburgh versus Jacksonville. And I kind of went from there. Any game that there were starters playing in, I wanted to take a look at what they were doing just to get a feel for who they were. You know, I get to see Caldwell's defense and how it kind of mimics what they were doing in Tampa Bay when he was there. You know, early first down tendencies is to be in that kind of big 34 front with those big run stuffers, those big ends, and kind of dare you to run the football because they think they've got some really good run stuffers there. The personnel inside is kind of carbon copies of each other, big physical kind of mauling, you know, nose technique type guys with enough athleticism to make you scared and can play the run really well. They kind of remind me like Stacy McGee type body types for those guys who remember from back
what
in the day.
Throwback, yeah. Stacy McGee. Let's
yeah. Go. You know, like kind of looking like refrigerators out there, but they move like they move like a bunch of dancing bears. So that's going to be interesting because there's not a lot of big names in that group, but some of them have very high PFF grades in terms of how they play against the run. So even though you don't have your Vita Vea there, you've got a lot of people there that can make some plays. So obviously then the edges of that front become very interesting because Trayvon Walker and then Josh Allen, number 41, not the quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, who were both high picks. Allen was, I think, the 16th pick overall. And obviously Trayvon Walker was the first pick last year. Trayvon Walker is, I mean, one of the most unique athletes that I've ever evaluated, you know, in my 15 years of doing film and college evaluation. Like, he's just a big, long, athletic, kind of mean son of a gun who is about as raw as you can possibly get, but has some tremendous upside. Like, it's crazy to watch him, like, drop into coverage. And his feet, like he moves like a safety or a linebacker, like, and he's 275 pounds, you know, and that's just like such a unique body type. And then a guy who can just like run you over playing defensive end, he's raw as a pass rusher, but his one trick is the long arm and a bull. And it's not a bad trick because he's a big, strong guy. Allen on the other side has a lot more pass rushing juice, for lack of a better term, like a little more bend, a little bit more nuance. And but a good, big, strong, good football player. So, and then you get to the second level of their defense, and you're like, man, like they are young and like kind of crazy athletic there too. Like you say, they've got Foye Olukun, who was like the highest paid free agent linebacker this last offseason. I think he's like a $50 million guy. I played with him in Atlanta, converted cornerback, moving to linebacker. Physical.
You don't see that very often.
Yeah, he went to Yale. You know, smart guy, kind of probably miscast there. But yeah. Excellent nose for the football and kind of is the modern iteration. Like he wears 54. He reminds me of Levante David a ton from Tampa Bay. And I'm making all these Tampa Bay connections because that's the dad of this defense, right? That's the tree that it's from. And so he's excellent in coverage. He's excellent against the run. I think he led the NFL in tackles last year, like 195 or some ridiculous number like that. And then they've got the two kids from that they drafted. They got Chad Muma out of Wyoming and they got Devin Lloyd. And Devin Lloyd was my favorite defensive player in the draft this year. I think he's coming off an injury. I don't know if he'll play or not, but I loved his college tape. I love Movement's college tape. So again, that second level of that defense is, again, very young, very talented, and kind of, again, like when you look at that front, you say, wow, that's like, that's a pretty vaunted athletic group right there. by most NFL standards, and completely different than was there last year for the most part outside of Allen. So I think like that's one of the things that gives me pause about this defense is they are very talented. And I think the thing that stood out to me most dramatically is with regards to the front is they have great depth. They have great pass rushing depth. So they've got like two or three guys in the depth chart that are former second and third round picks with high pass rushing upside. They bring all those guys in the field. Trayvon Walker bumps inside the three technique. Allen plays edge. They get a guy, I think his name's like something with a K, number 49. And basically they all can win one-on-one matchups.
Yeah, Key. Yeah.
Yeah.
Key's who was in there. Pretty high pick himself a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
He wasn't a high pick, but like he was a stud at LSU. Like he was a guy that mattered on a really good defense a couple of years ago.
Absolutely, man. And I think the interesting about him is like he's more of an end, but he rushes well as an interior pass rusher and is able to create some pressure. You know what I mean? So like having four dudes who can come in off the bench and then make some plays, I think is interesting. They also have another kid from LSU, Casanova or some weird name like that, 47 maybe. But yeah, all four of those guys are very good pass rushers, and they were able to create a ton of pressure against Pittsburgh with just those four guys coming in off the bench. So I don't know how good the back end is. It's really hard to evaluate in preseason, but that front, man, has got some ability, and they're very exciting to watch. And I think it's going to be an interesting challenge if Scott Turner wants to kind of lean into this run first, run second approach to insulate Carson Wentz, because I think that'd be a mistake based on the front that they play, the personnel they've got. I think you want to spread them out, throw the football down the field a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this a little bit on Monday's pod or Tuesday's pod this week. It is an interesting thing that, you know, in my mind, they want to be a let's spread the ball around kind of team. Because I'm just like thinking about the personnel and where they've invested. They've invested in quarterback. They've invested in wide receiver, both monetarily and draft capital. And then you're like, well, I don't know. Is that who they want to be? Do they want to bang it up inside and run the ball? And like their idea of protecting Carson is not kind of this, you know, sharp football, as in Warren Sharp, method of let's get easy passing completions on first and second down. But it's a more traditional, like we need to run the ball on first and second down and limit his opportunities. And then it's like, well, that actually just makes life hard on third down because inevitably you're going to get to third down a lot. And I really hope that they have been playing coy, and especially with Brian Robinson out, because if you're going to be an in-between the tackles, run the football kind of team, you don't have that back really anymore, unless Jonathan Williams is that guy. But like Gibson, that's not really his thing. He's going to try to bounce things more than they should. And also you enter that trust factor of him in traffic with the ball, and you're then wasting. I mean, Logan Thomas is practicing today. Bates is back. We talked about all the tight end depth. You've obviously got Gibson as a space player, as a pass catcher. McKissick is a space player, as a pass catcher. And then you get to the wide receivers of McLaurin, Dotson, and Samuel. And it just seems like if they're going to be a team that tries to run it, especially against this defense, doesn't make a lot of sense at all on like any account.
Yeah, no, I agree. And this is not like an anti-running the football podcast. I am pro running the football. Like I'm an offensive line coach at independent high school. Like I want to run the football. I think it's an important part of the game, right? But I do think you need to be smart with when you do it. You need to find ways to get them in situations that are advantageous to you. I hate people. I hate watching games. I hate watching other teams like around the NFL who are just, they call their runs and they just kind of mash their head against the wall. That's one thing I'll always respect about Kyle, Sean, all those guys. They know how to dictate via personnel to get the guys in advantageous running looks. In the same way you want to get in good coverage philosophy, in good route concept, like they do that in the run game. Oh, let's get into 11. Let's have McKissick in the game. Let's see if they'll match a nickel, four down linemen, two linebackers. The numbers there, the angles are better for us here. So we can pound the ball out of 11. We don't need to be in two tight ends and they bring in those, 320-pound mammoths and just clog up the middle. We don't need to do that. So I want to see, like, yes, you should run the football, but how are we running the football? And can we get them to match us in a personnel that fits what we do really well and fits our personnel? We've talked about McKissick, right, a ton this offseason. He's a great runner, right? Let's maybe use him. Let's spread it out. Let's get into 10 personnel. he's the one back. That's easy counts for offensive linemen, and he can make 4 yards in that if they match you, right? So I think that's one of the things you mentioned, one of the struggles about playing the first game of the year is you don't really know how they're going to match, right? In the preseason this year, Tampa Bay kept their big personnel in on first and second down. They were like, well, screw it. That's what we're going to do.
Jacksonville, you mean?
Jacksonville, sorry. Tampa Bay.
And I'm guessing that's also probably what Tampa Bay used to do, though.
Yeah.
That's top of mind, not just because they're in Florida.
Well, and also you watch a lot of Tampa film getting ready for this game.
Right.
So it's kind of like, who are they playing? But I think that's an important thing to note. So let's take advantage of them bringing less coverage players onto the field and throw the football. You know what I mean? Because you're 320 pounds, you're built to stop the run. You're not built to cover the pass or rush the passer, right? Like, let's take advantage of that a little bit. Let's get them out of that. I remember this is a story, again, story time with Logan. Kyle Shanahan, when we were playing Vince Wilfork in New England Patriots in 2011, intentionally went from 21 to 11 every single play in the first 25 just to get Vince Wilfork to run from the sideline back to the field so that by like the third play in the game, he was on the oxygen tank on the sideline. Like that's kind of how you
incredible story.
That's how you need to think about this. You need to play chess, not checkers. And I think that that's something that I'd like to see. And I'm excited to see because you don't know for sure what they're going to do, but I want to see this staff, this offense dictate a little bit more to that defense, especially with a bunch of young linebackers. Like they're good, they're talented, but they haven't played NFL football. Let's make them see a lot. And see if we can get them confused, you know?
So this is something I've thought about in terms of potential personnel grouping and you know, threat that they can play is, like, I expect to see two backs on the field a lot this year. Like, I would expect to see Gibson and McKissick together, especially those two, on the field quite a bit. Because you can dictate big personnel and then split those two guys. I mean, they used to do this with... Jay used to do this with like Jordan and Chris Thompson or like, you know, Chris Thompson and another back. Like they'd have them out on the field together and then just split one of them out wide or both of them out wide. Like there's no reason that you can't come out in 21 or, you know, whatever, you know, even 20 personnel, two backs, no tight ends, two backs, one tight end, and then line up five wide. Like there is no reason that you can't do that given the personnel that you have. And that seems to be, or, you know, the other thing that you have with Curtis Samuel is like, you can go no backs on the field and then run the football. So you can really get some of their big guys. Like if you want to run it and are having trouble getting their big guys off the field, take everybody out and then line Curtis Samuel up in the backfield and go. Yeah. Like there's a lot of opportunities with this personnel and not that you want to. And like, I guess this is the challenge, right? You don't want to get away from who you are. And I think Ron especially is a head coach in terms of the tone he sets, but it feels like Scott as well as an OC are coaches that very much have a philosophy that we want to do what we do and we're going to dictate that way. And I just think that's not always like that works when you have superior talent and offensively they have really good talent. So maybe that works on a lot of weekends. But I look at, you know, like what has made Belichick so great defensively over the years is he always is just like, we're going to be good at everything. That way we'll figure out what the other team is bad at and then we'll do it. And then we're going to be good at the thing that they're bad at. And I think with the versatility that the Commanders have offensively, they should be able to do that to any defense.
Yeah, no, I think even to kind of elaborate on that point, like 20 personnel, 10 personnel, you're probably not going to get the match you want, but like even with the personnel, like with Logan Thomason and Bates, and then you could go Gibson and McKissick, that's 22 personnel. Like you could for sure dictate a big response, and then you could have Logan Thomas in the slot, McKissick in the slot, and then you'd feel really good about that in a one-on-one situation against a guy, a linebacker, a young linebacker, probably Devin Lloyd. And I like that matchup, and that's just personnel based, right? So yeah, using those things to your advantage I think is really important. Obviously you need to know your identity, but like the good offensive, like this is something that I've been thinking about a lot. They're like, you know what, John Keim asked me this the other day, like what are teams holding close to the vest like at this point of the year?
And yeah, it's a great question.
And it's not even like they're holding anything particularly close to the vest, it's like how they're gonna do what they do against this team. And so what I mean by that is like your offense is in your 10 your 10 days of install are in. But now how are we going to run that same offense against Tampa Bay to put ourselves in the best situation to be successful? That's personnel. That's formationally. That's concept, obviously, right? And so I think that that's something, again, like your identity kind of has to shift. The foundation of it's there, obviously, in that 10-day install. But it kind of has to shift to exploit the matchups you see on film. And if you're not doing that, you're not putting yourselves in good situations to win football games. You're just not doing it. You know what I mean? So that is something that I think is a little bit, I don't want to say a criticism, but something that I noticed about Scott and I was always questioning. And I just want to see him kind of push that envelope a little bit and see if we can get some good responses that put defenses in binds this upcoming weekend against Jacksonville.
Can you give us an example of, like, let's just take like one play that would be considered? Because I think like people hear like install and like on a level, like we get what it means, but like unless you've been in the meetings, it's kind of hard to understand like what a play might look like in install and like its basic, most basic, you know, version versus what it looks like in a game plan. Like, can you take one specific play and then hash it out on how it evolves into a game plan version of a play?
So let's take something really simple, like the stick concept, which is usually a 3x1 to one side or the other. Let's say 3x1 right. The tight end, who's the closest receiver, runs a 5-yard out. The next guy runs a flat, and the outside guy runs a go. And then the backside receiver has what they call a thunder. So like he can run a go versus press, run a hitch versus off. There's a whole bunch of different iterations of that. So that's like day one basic install. And you've got your X to the left in the isolation, got your Y, your F, your Z, right? And so you just got to say, okay, that's day one stick install. The way you'd run that and you'd get to that play versus a team, let's say they play a lot of man-to-man coverage, right? I would come out in 12 personnel. I'd have my tight ends lined up in west slot, so tight ends to the left, the two receivers, so Terry and Jahan to the right. And I would say, all right, this is a very common coverage or formation to get a coverage tell. And are they in man or zone? So that helps the quarterback out. I would say shift. I would have the tight end go to the right. I'd have the F be the isolated receiver. Because again, like if it's man and I like my matchup there, let's say it's Cole Turner and he's running a thunder route and it's getting press coverage on a linebacker, he can run a fade. I'm going to throw that right now. And that's just one example, right? And so then I know pre-snap, I can work the zone side based on the pre-snap alignment of the offense. And then I shift to a formation where I have an advantage versus man-to-man coverage. So again, like that's just an easy kind of, and that would never go in training camp, but that goes in now because like you've something you've seen on film, and that's like basic stuff. And you can do that with practically any play, right? Let's say Terry, you want Terry in a certain matchup where you want Terry off the ball. Like we can formation it so that Terry is the Z technically in this look, even though he's still classified as the X. So he gets to run the primary route because you want to get your horses the ball. And the Kyle was masterful at that, just kind of rain manning out, finding ways, you know, like it was really interesting being in Atlanta's offense after being up here where Julio's the guy. And they had so many more formations, partially because they just want to get Julio in good situations. And that's all by week. Like, you know, when I was in San Francisco and Kittle started going off, like Kyle would go crazy with formations for the tight end just to get Kittle in the best matchup. And that's all week specific.
Yeah. I remember when Jay was here and they did the same kind of stuff with Jordan. I just remember there was one formation specifically called Hulk Right. And I was like, that's cool. Jordan gets to be Hulk. If I ever play football, I want to be like Flash left. Send me on a go route, coach.
Right.
That's from Take Command. That's just part of the show. You want the full thing, including what happens when Commanders and Jags flip the field on Sunday and the Commanders are on defense. Some thoughts on Trevor Lawrence and the Jags offense. Make sure you subscribe to Take Command. That is anywhere you get your podcast, of course. Also, subscribe to the Hoffman Show podcast because you can, you know, get that anywhere that you get your pods. And then if you miss part of the show, for instance, you missed the 3 o'clock hour today, which was an absolutely crazy, nutty, you know, bonkers hour of radio where Anthony and I decided we were going to do a fantasy league with listeners. And we're currently in the middle of the draft. Anthony, how do you feel like your draft is going so far?
I'm having a fantastic draft. And actually, I'm on the clock right now. And
dun, 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 dun.
Who am I going to take? I'm going to take Elijah Mitchell right now.
I like Elijah Mitchell. And I like taking a Kyle Shanahan running back.
Yes, sir.
Trash talk has also begun. Anthony's getting into the chat, you know, abusing people for taking quarterbacks too early in his mind.
The third round, Craig.
Like,
so much value is left on this board.
Allen and Mahomes went and people started freaking out for sure.
Exactly.
I started scrolling down and I was like, all right, I'm all right. I'm good. I got guys I can wait on.
What you got? Just tell me. I promise you I won't take them.
What, quarterback?
Yeah. What you got? I draft before you, right?
Yeah, but I'm not telling you who I got in my queue. There's a bunch of them.
Okay.
But the thing is, like, a bunch of them are all, like, even. That's kind of the thing.
Exactly.
Waiting.
Ooh, that's a great pick, Damian Pierce.
Someone got, I mean.
That was an overdraft, though. He could have fell a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, so right now, my team, I went Jamar Chase early because I mean, the dude had like 1,500 yards or something last year. He was crazy. I got caught napping. I auto-drafted CeeDee Lamb, and that really messed up my draft. I didn't have anybody in the queue. I wasn't paying attention. Anthony didn't let me know it was my pick, which is not his responsibility. It would have been a nice, friendly thing to do.
I wasn't even looking, though, Craig. I lied to you not.
CeeDee Lamb got dropped to me with my second pick. Then I went Kyle Pitts, Jalen Waddle, and Josh Jacobs so far. Haney, you've got – who you got? You got Mitchell, you just mentioned. Your first pick – who was your first pick?
My first pick was Najee. And then I took Travis Kelce.
Yeah, who I wanted. Anthony and I are very much on the same page on a lot of players that we were targeting. Like, someone just took Adam Thielen. I think that's a great pick. Maybe a little early, but, like, I think in Kevin's offense, Thielen's going to be fantastic.
And that's Kirk Cousins' guy. He's a touchdown getter, man.
Yeah, that's a guy that I wish that I had, for sure. But that's why CD messed me up. I was like, damn, there's so many good receivers I could target later that, like, I would like to start. And I got messed up by not paying attention. That's the key in life, kids. You should pay attention.
The Hoffman Show. Here we go. Light it up. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Hoffman Show on the Team 980. We are always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today in the Apple App Store or wherever it is that you get your pods. So we just played you some of Take Command, also a very fine podcast that you can listen to wherever it is that you get your pods. I guess I kind of mixed my technology there. I got into like a complete and total, I got into a groove of saying something, then realized what I said didn't make any sense. I was like, download it wherever you get your pods, but I was talking about the app. You got to download your apps wherever you get your apps. Download your pods wherever you get your pods. Anthony, got to focus, bro. I'm telling you, but I'm really telling me. I think you're
accountability.
Yeah. Is that what that is?
I think so.
I don't. Sometimes we get a little off the rails. All right. The point is, you should download the Odyssey app. It's free. You should subscribe to Take Command. And on the show, we talked about what kind of gave us confidence and what is our biggest worry. And I think where Logan and I are going into the season is our biggest questions are not personnel. Our biggest questions are the coordinators. Can these coaches get players in a position to win? And not even in a position to win, to be in an optimal position to win. Scott Turner is the guy that I think has the biggest task, because to me, he's got the most talent and the most unique talent. And he was asked today when he was at the podium about Turner, or about, you know, his ability to kind of be creative with that play calling. And I think Logan did an incredible job of describing the ways in which you actually are creative, right? Like, there's certain plays that every offense has. It's not like you're going in, or like you're going to run every week. It's not like you're going in you know, creating new plays in the dirt every week and forgetting all the stuff that you spent all this time on. It's just, how do you get to the plays? Through shifts, through motions, through formations? Do you move personnel around to create favorable matchups? Like, that's what we're talking about in terms of game plan specific stuff and coaches really doing the types of things that create advantages. And so for Scott, this answer is kind of interesting on creative play calling being a challenge with his offensive weapons. He goes, that's just a part of the playbook. We have a lot of different stuff that we can get to. It makes it fun, you know, when you get different guys and you try to get different people involved to show different and show different looks. But it's always a challenge. You come up with a game plan. What do our guys do? Well, what is the defense? How do we think we can attack them? Then kind of where did that and where do those things meet? And then, again, I'm just reading this answer. And then that's what we do every week, and we try to game plan to our individual players and what they can do well, and then collectively how that's going to help us win. But that first part where he's like, that's just a part of the playbook, like it's a part of every team's playbook. The question is, how heavily do you lean into that? How much creativity do you have in taking the same plays that you run, the same concepts, and bending and molding them and shaping them in a way that can utilize your personnel maximally and attack defenses where they're weak? And I think last year, the Commanders didn't do that real well. And so what has Scott Turner done to earn our trust that in another year with some different and better personnel, that he's going to use that so much better? That to me is like the single biggest question on offense. And then on defense, it's, are they going to set themselves up for success? And this is not to completely let the players off the hook. This is, you know, at the end of the day, they've got to execute what's called. And there's been plenty of teams over the course of NFL history that have been super successful with pretty simple stuff that just executed at a really high level with really good talent. But part of execution is understanding time, score, situations, down, distance, all that. And that comes down to calls, putting them in position to optimize success in those situations. If it's first and 10, obviously the offense is pretty much has their whole playbook. Let's say they throw an incompletion. It's second and 10. Do you set yourself up in a way that you don't give up, you know, an easy 6-yard run, and then it's third and 4, and then you're screwed? Do you set yourself up in a way where what you're giving up is, you know, you're willing to give up a longer completion, be a little bit more aggressive, challenge teams to challenge you? Like, your looks, your personnel, decisions you make of how you're going to match certain, you know, especially certain personnel. And a team like the Jaguars, who's got some versatility with some of their players as well, multiple running backs who can do some different things, their tight ends, they could play multiples at once. Like, how are they going to match up with that stuff, especially if Cam Curl isn't out there? So it's a super interesting chess game that these coaches have got to show better than they did last year in terms of playing. I frankly have more confidence in Turner to do it than I do Del Rio. I don't think that's really, like, I say this is what it takes, but then I also feel like Jack's philosophy is kind of to be pretty simple. Now, what's interesting is if you talk to, like, the linebackers, there's a lot more complexity within the simplicity, right? Which is actually, I think, kind of the point. Like, it's actually a damning data point that offensive coaches look at what the Commanders are doing defensively. Like, I mean, when we had Gruden, as in Jay, on the podcast within the first couple episodes, he talked about how, you know, game planning against Del Rio really isn't that hard. He kind of figures out it's pretty simple what they're doing. But then you talk to defensive players that play for him, it's like, no, it's really complex. There's a lot of rules. There's a lot of things we have to consider. And if it's simple for offenses and hard for defenses that are executing it, that's not a very good defense. That doesn't seem like you're going to be successful. So either somebody's misguided, or you're looking at a defense that's going to have another year below expectations at the very least. And which coordinator do you have more faith in?
I wish I could say neither. If I had to go out on a limb, I would probably say Scott Turner.
I think I would too. I feel like we could be in a situation where Del Rio, I don't want to say this out loud, but I've already started down the sentence. Like, I'll put it, I want to frame this properly. Because, like, look, I also want to be fair to Del Rio as a coach. He led a top five defense not that long ago. And last year, they had a ton of injury issues. And they certainly had some coaching issues and player issues where they couldn't. And at some point, they go from player issues to coaching issues because you got to get through to your guys. And they never really did. But if you told me that Del Rio doesn't make it through the season, I wouldn't be stunned. I think he's on thin ice for all the stuff that happened in the offseason. They already fired one defensive coach during training camp. Rivera has, in the past, not necessarily fired a defensive coordinator midseason, but when he was in Carolina in 18... And this happened to be the all or nothing season. So this is fresh on my mind because I just watched that show and that season. Ron took over the defensive play calling in the middle of the year. He can't do that with Del Rio. And the reason he can't do that is because Jack runs a different defense than what Ron used to run. So if they're going to change stuff defensively, now, it's in a different iteration of the same stuff, but it is different. They would have to make a pretty significant change in what they're doing, not just how they call it. But it's not out of the question to me, because I think Ron knows that defensive side has a lot of potential. I think he likes what they have over there. And if it doesn't perform, I think he's going to look at Del Rio and be like, I don't know whether they tune you out. I don't know whether you don't know what you're doing anymore. I don't know what it is, but it's not working. And he could, like, it wouldn't surprise me. It would equally not surprise me if this defense is floating near the top 10 because John Allen and Daron Payne and Montez Sweat are monsters, and then Chase comes back and makes an impact. I think those are equal possibilities. So I don't want to sit here and pretend like I'm all in on negative. But that's kind of the weird thing about this. This is a team with a ton of variability in their potential performance, which should make it both really fun to talk about this year, but also potentially really frustrating to watch. Tomorrow we'll dive obviously a lot more into the game itself. We will get you ready for some of the matchups. We will make predictions. We will get your predictions. And that's all tomorrow on the show. When we get back, real things, real people said into real microphones. We were going to start the show with some thoughts on the Queen. Because if you have not heard or not seen on your phone, you're like, the Queen? Like the Queen of England? Yes. The Queen of England died today at the age of 96. Queen Elizabeth II. 96 years old, born in 1926. Just how much have sports evolved in her lifetime? It's fun to take a look back and realize just how different the world that she entered was compared to the world that she left. And sports is an interesting lens at which to look at that through. We will also recap our fantasy draft, which I have not been paying attention to during this segment because I'm doing my job on the radio. So Anthony will tell me in the break how bad my auto draft was. So we'll get to that next. Hoffman Show, wrap it up on the Team 980.
It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Hoffman Show on the Team 980. We're always live on the free Odyssey app. All right, my auto draft did all right. I queued up a couple players as we're wrapping up the draft in the league The Last Minute Fantasy League is the official name of the league. Let's see. Oh, shoot. I just auto-drafted myself a queued up player when I was sitting right here, ready. Shoot. Got Tyler Boyd from Cincinnati. Not a bad pick at this point in the draft. But I got Tom Brady as my quarterback, who, you know, only led the league in passing last year. And then I got Trevor Lawrence as my backup, who I'm psyched about because that's who I wanted as a backup. Because if he turns out to be awesome, I could have like a top fantasy QB. There's a chance.
My backup is still there.
Oh, it hadn't even been taken yet.
Nope. And I don't think he'll get taken.
Interesting. Carson's still on the board.
It will not be Carson. I can tell everybody on the airwaves listening.
And some people are. There's people in the messages being like, man, we wish you would tell us our picks. Who would, I guess I could guess. I mean, Tua's still there. Fields is still there. Jones, Jameis. I feel like it's Jameis. I feel like Jameis is your guy. You talked earlier in the show that you were high on the Saints.
You know it. And he's had a 5,000-yard season before. He has had a 30-touchdown season. I won't mention the fact that he had 30 interceptions, but he has, you know, had some pretty good numbers when it comes to passing the ball. And I just think with his new passing attack, he's going
to
be good.
I'm going to laugh when someone takes Jameis now because they're listening to the show. That's the thing. It's a listener draft.
Now I got
to
take him now.
You're on the clock. You going to take him right now?
Who I want? I don't know what I want to do, to be honest. I don't want to run him back.
I feel like you got to take him now because you just gave away.
Nah, I'm going to go out there and go ahead and solidify my defense.
You got another pick coming up in like 5 picks.
Yeah.
I'll laugh when the next pick is Jameis.
I think I'm going to grab these.
Someone just took Jahan. I'm mad about that. Jahan was queued up for me.
That's who I had, but he got taken.
Yep. All right. Well, this is what happens when you play with a bunch of Commanders fans. All right. That's the end of the show. You know what that means.
Real things.
We're not going to be sucked this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
All right, the reason that we're doing this fantasy draft last second is because it's week one. We're ready. We are ready for week one. And by the way, so are the Commanders. Cue up the tiny mic, courtesy of this Commander's social media.
Man, very excited, man. You know, we practice every day for this. We've been waiting since training camp, since the spring, man. We so excited, man. Especially this guy, 2-9, man. We all excited, man. He can't wait.
Absolutely jacked for week one.
Super excited, man. We back at home, man. It's freaking game week, man. Let's go!
I'm excited.
Couldn't be more excited. It's like Christmas day. Come on.
Yeah, Chief shaved his mustache for this, so we got to be super excited for it.
Excited?
Yeah.
I'm ecstatic.
Very excited.
Ooh, ecstatic.
It's the dawn of a new season. And you get to write your own script.
Can't you tell? I'm excited. It's week one. Back in the stadium. New year. New us. Let's get it.
So excited.
This mic is weird.
Mic is weird.
We're excited for week one, but this mic is weird.
Okay, so see, that was in the key of E, but 28 octaves up, and so it's actually not audible to the naked ear.
Excited. Woo!
Who is that? Is that James?
I don't even know how to really explain it. Like, you know.
This is Curtis.
I'm ready to go. Let's do this!
Let's do this, says Curtis Samuel. Who was the guy who said it was too high to hear?
A basketball player. He has the same name as a basketball player. A point guard. Phoenix.
Why did I just in my head go Steve Nash? Chris Paul.
Yes.
Got you.
That's who that was.
Gotcha. All right.
We got some characters on the Commanders, man.
We do. It is a fun team. I'll give you that. You can feel good rooting for the guys in that locker room. You know, other things about the organization. We don't need to go there today. Of course, story of the day around the globe is Queen Elizabeth II passed away at the age of 96. She died peacefully at Balmoral, her castle up in Scotland. Different than the castle that I got married in Scotland a couple weeks ago. They're about 5 hours apart, I looked. And this is a story from her former bodyguard. This story's not new, but came up today in many of the tributes.
And normally on these picnic sites, you meet nobody.
but there was two hikers coming towards us, and the Queen would always stop and say hello. And it was two Americans on a walking holiday. And it was clear from the moment that we first stopped, they hadn't recognized the Queen, which is fine. And the American gentleman was telling the Queen where he came from, where they were going to next, and where they'd been to in Britain. And I could see it coming, and sure enough, he said to Her Majesty, "And where do you live?" And she said, "Well, I live in London, but I've got a holiday home just the other side of the hills." And he said, "Well, how often have you been coming up here?" "Oh," she said, "I've been coming up here ever since I was a little girl, so over 80 years. And you could see the clogs thinking. He said, "Well, if you've been coming up here for 80 years, you must have met the Queen." And as quick as a flash, says, "Well, I haven't, but Dick here meets her regularly." So the guy said to me, "Well, you've met the Queen, what's she like?" And because I was with her a long time and I knew I could pull a leg, I said, "Oh, she can be very cantankerous at times, but she's got a lovely sense of humour." Anyway, the next thing I knew, this guy comes around, puts his arm around my shoulder, and before I could see what was happening, he gets his camera, gives it to the Queen, and says, "Can you take a picture of the two of us?" Anyway, we swapped places, and I took a picture of them with the Queen, and we never let on, and we waved goodbye. And then Her Majesty said to me, "I'd love to be a fly on the wall when he shows us photographs to the friends in America, and hopefully someone tells him who I am."
That is hilarious. You ever had a moment like that where you don't recognize who someone is?
Nah, not really.
I can't think of one. I feel like I have. I can't remember who it is. I feel like Rachel's going to text me and be like, "Yeah, you idiot. It was last week when blah, 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 blah." I can't imagine being like, the queen. Have you ever met her? Ta-da. She was born in 1926 through the lens of sports. The NBA didn't exist yet. The NFL didn't exist yet. It would be, she was coordinated in the 1950s. It would be almost another decade before the NFL even had the Super Bowl, the NFL-AFL championship game. She saw, obviously, here in America, Title IX didn't exist, the full evolution of women's sports, for which she has certainly championed. She herself was a horse breeder and has had success in things like the Belmont over the years. The thing that I just can't get over, I mean, you watch The Crown, if you watch The Crown, and it tells so many stories of just all the people that she's met over the years. I mean, she's born during the Calvin Coolidge administration. She surely met FDR as a girl, and then ultimately Truman and Eisenhower, and on down the list as she became queen, Kennedy, and on down the list of American presidents right through through Joe Biden, the current president, and whom she's significantly older than, which is, you know, saying something. Joey B's been around a while, and you know, through all of that history and all of the different things she's seen, all the different places that she's been, all of the good, the bad, the controversy, the terrible tragedy, something like what would happen with Princess Diana, and obviously that's an incredibly complicated story that we don't need to get into on this show right now. But this is a woman who survived the Blitz during World War II. Like, that to me is just absolutely wild. Ultimately, as Britain actually named their last prime minister over the weekend, she took audience with 15 different prime ministers over in the UK. Crazy. It's Queen Elizabeth, 96 years old. All right, tomorrow on the show, we preview Jags, Commanders, and the rest of week one around the NFL. Enjoy the football tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow as well. Hoffman Show, Team 980. We're always live on the free Odyssey app.